Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Now?
I got a face for radio, so I'm told.
By the entire comment section.
In yeah, the chat. I don't pay any attention to those guys.
Oh.
Occasionally,
way,
I'll
way to make
in,
them feel like, useful.
But, like, you know.
You got to set up super chats like the other podcast.
I do occasionally look at the LRN.FM one labeled show prep.
Okay.
That's not us. We don't put prep in there. It's all the listeners and the online people who will put all sorts of stuff. I'll look in there occasionally for ideas for show prep, so it has its use.
I don't know if I said this on air, but a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, someone called in and said we need to open up the user submitted show prep.
Yes.
On the website.
Yes.
I said, well, just go create a subreddit, man, because it's
right.
And there's already a Free Talk Live subreddit that's been dead for like 3 years.
Yep.
So just go restart that.
Yep.
You know, do it there and then send us the link.
In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
The telephone number, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. The other reason I don't really pay any attention to the chats while we're doing the show is because we're doing the show. We're not a, hey, chat at us online and we'll talk about it. We're a live call-in radio show.
Yeah, you got
a telephone number. So,
yeah.
Like, if they have something to say to us, call in.
Right. Yeah. Well, my only point is that there are other shows out there that do the super chats where they tip or send a donation.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you'll read it.
Right.
And I would suggest that if you were to implement something like that and put that towards the AMP program.
Yeah, if you pay me, I'll talk to you.
Right. Exactly. If you're too chicken to call in, right, then pay for a super chat
bucks,
and we'll say what you got.
Yeah.
And then put it toward the AMP program because we'll get our
crack team of producers on that. Not our team of crack producers, but our crack team of producers.
Got it.
On that.
The Willy Wonka crack lab.
Before we go on, are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of big tech social media sites?
Generally,
yes.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is a free, open source, and decentralized, and it's federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. Social.freetalklive.com. That's social.freetalklive.com. All right, before we go on, we have some phone calls to take. We're going to go to a gentleman named Harrison calling from, was it Virginia?
No, I'm actually up in the Adirondacks of New York State, but I'm picking you up on a station on 1650 out of Virginia.
Wow.
Oh, interesting.
Very well. Well, thank you for listening. You are live on the radio.
I've never heard the show before. This is new, and I'm rather enjoying it, although you folks are all a lot younger than I am. About every fourth word you use is like. And you refer to the 80s as old school, which amuses me to death.
Yeah, I'm the oldest one on the panel tonight at 51.
I'm the middle child at 42.
And Nikki's like
25.
Oh, okay. I was like 22. 22. Okay.
Well, you probably don't like to hear this, but you're all kids from my point of view.
No, I'll take it.
Yeah, thanks, Dad.
But when I think of comedy and I think of people that I thought were funny, Danny Kaye comes to mind, among others. And I'm trying to think who. Tom Lehrer was funny in the early 50s.
Oh, yeah. Tom Lehrer did some musical stuff, too, that showed up on the Dr. Demento show, so I'm familiar with him.
But the thing is, for me, comedy, first of all, in order for it to be funny, it has to have some wry basis in truth, for one.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, it can't be cruel. That doesn't mean, or mean, that doesn't mean you don't poke fun and ridicule things and ideas. As a matter of fact, that's sometimes what makes it so hysterical. But I don't think it should be intentionally nasty or in some way, you know, hurtful to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like the offense culture either. I mean, if you can't take the fire, get out of the kitchen.
Right.
Later on, yeah. My kids brought me into the orbit of George Carlin. I heard you mention him.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a kick out of Al Sleep, the hippy dippy weatherman.
Oh, yeah.
And then he had an album later that was called FM and AM. Are you familiar with it?
George Carlin? I'm sure I've heard it.
Yeah. Well, the one side of it that's called FM starts out with a skit about a particular word that he got thrown out of a Las Vegas hotel for saying.
Mm-hmm.
And the bit is so funny. You can't play it on the air, but to me it's hysterically funny.
I
also used to get a kick out of Shelley Berman.
Oh, yeah. Who was the comedian stand-up guy? George Burns is what I'm thinking of. Like,
oh, okay.
Yes, he was funny. Jack Benny was his
Jack Benny, right. What about...
Dangerfield?
How about Bob
Rodney
Hope?
Rodney Dangerfield. You know what I appreciated about Rodney Dangerfield?
He didn't get any respect?
Anybody who has ever had a sense of a lack of confidence or a sense that they felt a little inferior, intimidated socially by others, he gave voice to that.
Yes. He was like the king of self-deprecating comedy. He was the king of self-deprecating comedy.
Yes, and I appreciate it. I am autistic, among other things, besides being ancient.
You'll love this show.
And my life was made miserable as a young person because autism hadn't even been thought of, number one.
Right.
So nobody knew what was quote-unquote wrong with me.
Sure.
And I was treated terribly. And so I really appreciate Rodney Dangerfield's kind of humor because he makes it okay for me to be me and to have experienced the things that I've experienced.
Yep, yep.
I'm sorry he's gone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the good news is that, you know, those guys recorded a bunch of stuff, right? Video, audio, that kind of thing.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So we're all able to enjoy things like, you know, any of the, you know, the comics that have passed on. George Burns, to me... only came into view when he did that that movie, the Oh God, that he starred in. Where
I didn't care for that. I found that irreverent, and that offended me. I didn't want to partake. There were other things he did I thought was funny. I didn't care for that idea.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought I was like, really? That's a kind of a, you know, weird. Like, he played God,
okay,
right? In the movie.
Yeah,
so spoilers for people who haven't seen it, but like. I saw that, and I'm like, who's this guy? Everybody's like, but oh, he did such a, you know, he was in the, he got a lot of press for playing this part.
Okay.
Right? And I'm like, who the heck is this guy? And so I went back and found his stuff. And I'm like, oh, and I'm like, this guy's funny.
That's comical because George Burns was all over the radio when I was young. And then when television came around, he was on television. And, of course, his wife was Gracie Allen.
Right.
And she died rather young, and he never really got over that, but he always had a dedication to her in his shows, and that was touching to me. I appreciated him. I thought that the Nelson family, Ozzy and Harriet, were funny.
Mm, yeah.
They took real-life situations in their own family, exaggerated them a little bit, and put on a comedy on the radio and on television that related to things people at that time were living through and going through.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And that's kind of the thing about art. Art generally reflects, you know, life.
Well, and the general rule of comedy is the punchline is unexpected.
Right.
Right. The setup to the joke takes the audience in a certain direction, and then, bam, the punchline is not on that path.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it funny.
Yep.
I agree with you. When you can anticipate the punchline, that kind of ruins it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is also why I've had a conversation with the captain in the past about why people don't want to go to the comedy show after listening to the album, whereas they'll go to like the music show after listening to the album.
Right. Yeah.
It's because you know it's coming. Like there's no deviation from the punchline once you've heard the joke.
Well, it's like the 4-year-old child who hears a funny joke and tells it to you, and then tells it to you again, and tells it to you again.
Yeah.
After
yeah.
the first time, it,
hey, don't be telling my secrets, man.
Why? You're not a 4-year-old child.
No, but I tell the same joke over and over.
Yeah, so you just got to get a gimmick at the nursing home.
That does kind of come back around. That's another one of those things that comes back around from, like, childhood back to, like, when... Because I remember my grandfather, once he started getting older, it was, like, same stories, same jokes.
Yep.
And, you know, you just got to laugh because you love them.
My boss is like that. Have I told you the story? Yeah, but go ahead and tell it again. We got to kill time before we got up.
Another comedian?
Yep.
Justin Wilson.
Who?
The Cajun Gourmet.
Nope. Doesn't ring a bell.
Tell Cajun jokes. He was hysterically funny.
Okay. Say the name again. We might want to look this up later.
It's spelled like Justin Wilson.
Okay.
But he pronounced it Justin.
Okay.
Justin Wilson. He was a Cajun. His language was French.
Sure.
And he made a point of that. It was like Sir Harry Lauder from Scotland exaggerating his Scottish accent back in the 20s.
Nice.
He exaggerated his Cajun accent, too.
Yeah.
But his Cajun jokes were absolutely funny and wouldn't hurt anybody.
Yep.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with clean comedy as long as it's funny.
Oh, it was funny. You owe it to yourself to look him up and just listen to some of his bits.
Justin Wilson.
All right, we will do. Anything else you want to add tonight, Harrison?
Well, no, I probably had better get out of the way and let somebody who is a little bit younger demographic talk to you.
You're not going to like the next caller, then.
Well, we'll see.
I don't know about that.
We'll see what happens. Harrison, thank you for listening and for calling, too. Hopefully we hear from you again. Have a great night, man. 603-283-6160. I was thinking Bob Hope.
Yeah, you mentioned it.
Right? Like Bob Hope is like one of those classic comedians, clean, right? You know, he might walk an edge every now and again, but like the majority of his stuff was just clean as could be and also funny.
I mean, you know the era, right? For a while, even on television shows, you couldn't flush a toilet.
Right, that's true.
It was like, oh my God, I can't believe they flushed the toilet.
I remember seeing a commercial on television for like a Playtex bra.
Okay.
Right? And like my grandmother was offended that they were showing. Now, like, they would show a lady fully clothed wearing one of these, supposedly, underneath her. But then they would show the cut-off head mannequin, but only down to the rib cage with the bra on it. They're like, I can't believe they're showing such filth on TV.
Yep.
And I'm like, why?
Just an article of clothing.
What, on an inanimate object, no less, right? You know?
Well, at the time, the bathing suit was full length.
Yeah.
Right? If you showed a kneecap, you got arrested.
Yeah.
Right? It was just,
Yeah.
No, know the era.
Yeah, I mean, a few hundred years ago, it was sexual to show your ankles for a woman.
Still is in certain Muslim countries.
Yeah.
Wow. What about cankles?
Those are fine.
Then you know you don't want to be like in an arranged marriage with her.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of next call, let's go to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes. So I found out that we have 17 speeding cameras here in Albuquerque.
That's 17 too many.
Wait. How does a camera speed?
They catch the speeders and they give out tickets. I've seen them around.
Leave the speeders alone.
Oh, I see. So the cameras aren't speeding. They're catching speeders, right?
They're stationary cameras.
Right, and they're planning to put more, but I don't know. It does not help any of the pedestrian fatalities or bicycle fatalities. We're number 6 in the nation. And so they come up with this really great plan. They're going to ticket the jaywalkers, the pedestrians jaywalking.
Yes.
I know. Is that a joke? I mean, look, I book a comedy right now.
Speaking of comedians.
I mean, I'm not a fan of ticketing in general, but I'm also not a fan of jaywalkers because I think, again, my general position is the 3,000-pound death machine should have the right-of-way over the meat popsicle. And if you're risking your life by being the meat popsicle stepping out in front of the 3,000-pound death machine,
yep.
You get what you get. And if you don't want to get what you get, stay on the curb until it's clear.
And also, like, people have gone to the lengths of putting in place very specific areas for you to safely cross.
Even then, you should look for the 3,000-pound death machine.
Yes, absolutely.
Not following the rules.
Right. Now, I have jaywalked plenty.
And
I will continue to jaywalk. It's just that I'm looking both ways, making sure the coast is clear before I do.
And hustle a little bit if the 3,000-pound death machine is bearing on you.
Right, yes.
It's kind of like when you're, you know, when a tractor trailer is about to crash into you, you know, you're in a rotary and maybe you have the right of way, but somebody in a bigger car is coming at you, you step on the brakes. Right. It's just a survival skill.
Right. It should be.
Shall we?
It should be. But the state gives pedestrians this air of invincibility, and they take it.
Oh, yeah. Like, in the downtown Seattle area, I can't tell you how many people just blindly step out in front of 3,000-pound death machines.
It's like natural selection.
Right. Just not even looking. They're just like, going to step out now. Because technically, according to the law in the Seattle city limits, pedestrians have the right of way anywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah.
So it doesn't even matter if you're at a crosswalk or whatever, man. If you just step out into the street, cars are supposed to slow down and stop for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, depending on the timing of it all, it's not always possible.
So I just came back from vacation, like a week, you know, less than a week ago.
Yeah.
And I was in Hawaii. And on the roads now, everywhere that I wanted to go, it felt like, were these new speed humps from the last time I was there.
Oh, gosh.
They lowered the speed limit.
I hate those.
They put in the speed humps, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
And congestion is bad enough, but they've taken away lanes from where it used to be two lanes to condense it down to one to put nothing there.
Oh, so not even a bike lane sidewalk?
Just nothing there. And I was lamenting to this to a buddy of mine when we were doing our own podcast. I was like, is it really that bad? He's like, well, yeah, pedestrian fatalities are pretty bad around here. I'm like, really? You know, why? Why do they not, like, if you're crossing, like, that much road, either go to where it's safer to cross, where they have a light, and then wait for the cars to stop at the light before you start your cross.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But no, they put speed humps everywhere to try to save these people. Sarah?
I want to make this ridiculous point of that it's so comical that they're going to ticket the jaywalkers because they were blaming remember the panhandler standing in the median panhandling? Well, they threw them all off, the medians. I hardly see them. And then we're still number one per capita. So
how did they throw them off?
Yeah, did they, like, you know, out and remove them? Did they get arrested? How did they?
Yeah, they cited them. They got rid of them. It was like, they're the one that's getting killed. They cited
one less panhandler.
Them and got rid of them. And so it's the same fatality. So they're going to ticket the jaywalkers. And, you know, we're going to have the same kind of fatalities because, like you said, the ones with the death machines, when they make a mistake, when they run a red light, they're the ones that's killing everybody.
Yeah.
But the automobile industry and all the auto industry never get blamed.
Well, because it's not the industry's fault. There's theoretically a human behind the wheel operating it.
Well, and if they're adding, if the solution is, because it sounds like the original solution was the red light cameras and all of these things, you know, there's
speed
police,
humps.
Yeah, there's police officers that are, you know, supposed to be enforcing the law, so to speak. So it seems like they were initially going after the drivers, but that didn't work. It didn't do anything to decrease fatalities in your area. So now they're trying another thing, and they're like, well, maybe it's because people are jaywalking. It seems like
if it has a chilling effect, it might work.
Maybe, but it seems like they're just grasping at straws, and I don't know what the real... I don't live there, so I don't, like, actually see this, but...
The thing is that they kind of... The drivers are the ones that usually vote. They want to stay in office. They have to do the policies, that what the drivers want.
I mean, I just think the majority of people probably have a driver's license or are at least driving cars.
If you don't have a car, you're probably lower on the economic scale. Right, less likely to donate to a campaign, less likely to vote,
absolutely,
less likely to have your voice heard in the political realm, and I'm fine with that too. But if it's supposed to discourage people from jaywalking, then it could work. Sarah,
but that's what I'm saying. It's nothing to do with safety or any kind of reality. It's all the politicians. They want to stay elected, and the people that vote are the ones that have cars, and they don't want tickets.
Right, but if it discourages people from stepping out in front of a 3,000-pound death machine, right, and in order to avoid a ticket, you also avoid death, then in theory it could work, even though I'm still not in favor of it.
The, survival aspect of it should be the built-in mechanism.
It's not, though. The state overrides that mechanism by saying you have the right of way, the car must stop for you.
Right. Yeah, the state overrides instinct.
Yes.
At that point, or attempts to override.
No, it does. It absolutely does.
Well, no, it doesn't, because if you step out in front of a 3,000-pound death machine, death will become you.
But that's what happens, because they don't. They think they have the right of way,
right,
and they don't have the survival instinct to not step out.
I mean, that sounds like it'll just, it's a problem that'll just solve itself then. I mean,
you'll have more dead pedestrians. Yes, absolutely.
But maybe
that's what the outcome is going to be. It's not going to be reducing anything. Yeah. We're going to find out. So that's it. I'll call you back.
Survival of the fittest.
All right. Yeah. Let us know, Sarah.
Dead pedestrians.
All right. Let us know, Sarah. Thank you for the call.
So that's the thing. So it's the people that are leeches on society. All of these people who are probably drug addicts, are not really contributing to society, and they also don't have any sort of built-in common sense or survival mechanisms. It's all throughout history, across different species, these people or animals just die.
Right. Well, but we know that the state has an impact on that, because that's why we're always against public education. Right. We know that humans are susceptible to brainwashing. And when you brainwash them and tell them, you step out, you have the right of way, the car will stop for you, and that's their belief system, because they believe in that, they believe in the teachings of the state, and then they get hit, right? Sure, yeah, one less, whatever they are on society, doesn't have to be a leech on society, that's fine, but it is a problem that solves itself. But then you're also inconveniencing the driver. Right now, he's got to go get the car fixed, and who's responsible for that? And
yeah.
It's just unfortunate that this isn't... The big thing is, this should just be a built-in mechanism in the human brain.
It was. It was stamped out by the state.
603-283-6160. Do you routinely walk out in front of cars when crossing the street? If so, why? Give us a call. Let us know. More Free Talk Live is still to come. Stay tuned.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. The impeachment inquiry against President Joe Biden continues as Republican House leaders are now calling forward U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland for an interview. Despite recent setbacks in the inquiry, there's a new subpoena being issued. Kentucky Congressman James Comer says it involves Republican suspicions about the Biden classified documents, Hunter Biden overseas cash flows, and the recent DOJ report clearing Biden.
We want to see the transcripts for the Robert Herr interview with Joe Biden, because we have questions about Joe Biden's mishandling of classified documents.
Growth of the massive Smokehouse Creek fire in northern Texas has slowed considerably since the fire broke out last week. U.S. government fire management data shows only 2 acres of fire growth through Saturday. The burn zone now covers just over 1.07 million acres. So far, it's at about 15% containment. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Only for the second half.
All right.
You got to see the end.
I did.
So, yeah.
At least you didn't get tricky with it and, like, pause after it again.
Yeah. Doing, like, the, what is it, peekaboo?
Peekaboo.
We need a conductor.
I don't know.
I've always found those guys to be useless. Like, what do?
They must do something. I mean, when you have an orchestra with, like, hundreds of people, I would think maybe...
They basically just stand there and groove to the music as the other people do all the work.
They have the sheet music in front of them.
Whilst waving their little cane, like, trying to get the drummer to, no, hit harder! No, softer, harder. Yeah, that's what conductors do. They try.
Is there a school for that? Can you like go to school?
I guess. No, it is a thing.
It's a legit thing.
I know. Well, I guess it used to be more of a thing. But it's still a thing.
Yeah. They
like the Northeast School of Orchestra Conduction?
Yeah. I was in like a band, like a orchestra, it was not really an orchestra, but that clarinet and flute. Oh. Mainly clarinet. But there would always be, you know, a guy with
a pencil or something. I know there's the guy. My question is, like, where did he learn the skill? Is it on the job training? Is it because you were a musician up until that point?
Well, they do have certain musical schools do have a conductor / composer would be different. But
you could get your major
a lot of the
time.
It's the same guy.
Conductors, as near as I could tell, are also musicians.
Okay,
right. That is to say, they can read and write music. Right. Whereas, and that's not a requirement for being a musician.
That's the prerequisites for being a conductor.
For being a conductor, I believe that they have to be able to read sheet music because the compositions are there not only for the musicians, but also for the conductor. The conductor is supposed to interpret the composition dynamics, So the quiet part, how quiet is the quiet part? How loud is the loud part? And so, like, as these builds sort of ebb and flow throughout the music, the conductor is the one supposed to be guiding each of the different groups in the orchestra with their dynamics. How loud or quiet are they supposed to be? Okay. So they get more animated if they want less animated. Right, less animated if they want it to be quiet.
You just look it up, conductor words.
No, I was looking up, I'm like, yes, this will be relevant. No, I was trying to remember Leonard Bernstein. He was the guy I was thinking of. I don't know why it was that important that I remembered what his name was, but I just watched a movie about him that was pretty good. But he was a conductor.
Was it the conductor?
It might have been.
Okay.
Was that?
Conductor?
Bradley Cooper?
Yes, Bradley Cooper, okay. Yes. So.
I'm
hip.
So... We talked about comedy quite a bit tonight. Well, this is funny.
Oh.
The IRS is going to give you a gift.
We're going to bring the show down.
I don't know if I want it.
Oh, no, you don't.
Don't you?
I don't know. Maybe you do.
If you're cutting your taxes.
The IRS is waving...
Not normally what they mean.
Okay.
The IRS is waving $1 billion in penalties for nearly 5 million taxpayers... Are you eligible?
Okay.
Okay, so, first of all, the IRS is calling this a gift. The IRS calling waiving penalties for, like, not filing or filing late or whatever is kind of like a rapist who rapes you three times a day saying, you know what, I'm only going to rape you once a day for this week. That's my gift to you.
Consider the other two not rapes a gift.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
So they're letting you keep your own money, which they had no right to in the first place, and that is their gift to you.
Right. They had no right to in the first place, and they require you to, you know, file or, you know, send in, you know, money if you owe or whatever, that kind of stuff. And if you didn't, there's fines and penalties on top of that. If you don't, that's what they're waiving.
Okay. But this doesn't sound like tax breaks, right? This is waiving penalties.
Penalties and fines, not the tax itself.
Yeah.
Right.
So even less of a gift.
So they're still going to extort you, but... Just less penalties if you don't follow all of the rules.
Yeah, they're going to save you kneecaps, right? They're not going to send Guido and Anthony over to bust your kneecaps.
You still owe the money, but... Yeah.
Did they say why they're doing this?
The IRS is waiving about $1 billion in penalties owed on overdue taxes for the 2020 and 2021 tax years. The move will benefit about 4.7 million taxpayers, including individuals, businesses, trusts, estates, and others. The average savings per return... $206, according to the agency.
Was this
is this like a COVID measure?
The penalty waiver stems from actions the IRS took during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Called it.
Ding, 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 ding. Give him a prize. Tell him what he's won, Bob.
Well, because if it were those 2 years, then presumably, you know, people were having financial difficulties and... They might have been understaffed at the IRS.
And this is so horribly worded, too, because... This says, due to the effects of the pandemic, no. Due to the effects of the government's overreaction and near establishment of martial law across the globe, the agency temporarily stopped sending routine automated notices to taxpayers reminding them to pay overdue tax bills.
See? I never got a notice. Doesn't matter. You owe the money anyway.
Right.
Well, now they're going to walk it back a little bit.
Well, maybe.
The penalties.
To the tune of $200. I mean, like, that's a drop in the bucket for theirs.
For them, yes. Yeah. But if you're talking about millions of people, many of who are probably...
I'm sure they could use the $200.
On the lower end of the economic spectrum.
But also, I think the majority of those people... are probably filing because they bank on getting that money back.
What's their money? It's the refund.
But that's the thing. So those are the people that are filing. Normally, if they're going to get money back, not going to not file. You know what I mean? Like, those are the people that are filing.
If they were going to file, they'd have filed already because it's 2024, and they're only doing this for 2020 and 2021.
Yeah.
So although the reminders were suspended... The penalties continued to accrue, the IRS said.
Of course it did.
The IRS is preparing to resume its normal collection processes, including the automated notices, and the penalty waiver is part of its plans to restart. So what, now more paperwork for you to fill out if you want to waive the penalty? You got to fill out new paperwork? in order to get it?
I mean, is it worth filling? If you're already filing, it's probably worth filling out one more sheet of paperwork to get to it.
If you have already filed, yes, it would be. Since the reminder notices stopped going out, taxpayers may have been unaware that they still owed money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a gift.
Well, it's definitely not a gift. But if you file, if you made a mistake in your filing and you didn't know because they didn't send a notice saying, like, hey, you underpaid, and then continued to pile penalties on the underpayment.
Yeah. Right. So the agency is giving these taxpayers a break. You qualify for the relief if you had penalties associated with overdue taxes from the 2020 and 2021 tax years. The relief is automatic relief. They're calling it relief. You know what would relieve me the most is the abolishment of the IRS.
I just don't self-identify as a taxpayer.
Right. The relief is automatic. Eligible tax victims, I mean taxpayers.
Yep. Say the truth.
All right. Tax victims, they don't need to take any action, so apparently no more paperwork.
There you go.
If you had penalties and already paid them, you'll also benefit. The IRS plans to issue refunds or credit those payments toward other tax liabilities. The penalty waiver only applies to taxpayers with assessed taxes under $100,000 and filed certain forms, 1040, 1120, 1041, 990T, income tax returns, again for 2020 or 2021. Eligible tax victims were also already in the IRS collection notice process or were issued an initial balance due notice between February 2022 and December 7th of 2023. This is all just so, like, they already know. They already know who, you know, according to their terms, has or hasn't paid these.
Right.
And so all I got to do is just go, no, this guy gets $200 off next time.
And again, it's not a gift. They are tax victims, but automatically getting the money back and not having to do anything is still a benefit to the tax victim. Can we at least agree on that?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, getting raped a little less is still a little less rape.
Yeah.
But it's like getting a refund on the rape.
It's like, you know, we raped you, but here's $20.
Yeah. Now it's a service.
God.
Penalties will begin to accrue again on April 1st, 2024 for taxpayers covered by the relief if they don't pay off their balances before then. You've got a month, basically.
So
you have one month to, like, I don't even know, if you don't pay off your balance before April 1st, then you don't get the relief?
So I'm confused. Is this supposed to be like an incentive for people to pay their fines?
The IRS,
or the money that they were supposed to pay? I don't know.
It is.
Well, they're going to accrue fines and penalties anyway.
Yeah. They're saying, okay, we'll waive the extra fines, just pay the taxes that you owe.
Right.
This sounds like a trick.
From several years ago.
Could be.
Yeah, it sounds like a trick.
I'm sure it is. I mean, it is the IRS.
It's an incentive to get you pay your current fines and fees in order to get money back that they're waiving on the past fines and fees.
Yeah. The IRS plans.
But the alternative for those people is to continue to accrue fines and fees that they will eventually end up paying in some form in the future.
They could just never pay it.
But then you end up, you know, with the guy at the door and the lien on the house and whatever else, you know, the IRS does to collect.
The IRS plans to issue special reminder letters on penalties and the relief starting next month. That would be this month. This article is a couple days old. It will alert taxpayers to their liabilities and outline any penalty relief. Oh, well, thank goodness. Thank goodness the IRS is there to tell me how much rape they're going to commit against my wallet.
Yeah.
Because that's what tax is. It's a rape of your wallet.
Yep. I get it. But if they're going to rape you and then they're going to give you $20 and the alternative is to just get raped, like, I will take the $20.
Okay.
Right?
It might help you get some lube or some, you know.
Therapy.
It's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen anyway. Right, they're going to do it anyway. You might as well get some benefit out of it if they're offering it.
The IRS plans to begin sending automated collection notices once again next January. Most of those receiving the penalty relief make under $400,000 a year, according to the IRS. Nearly 70% of the individuals eligible for the relief have incomes under $100,000 per year.
Well, and if the $200 is an average, you know, what's the likelihood that those in that $400,000 range are getting the bulk of that relief? Because their penalties will be higher, right? So their relief will be more. And the people making, you know, hundreds of $100,000 or less might end up with that $20 check,
right,
as opposed to thousands of dollars.
Or credit, according to this article. Yeah. Right. So they're not even going to, they're just going to credit you towards whatever you owe next year.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
What they're going to take, regardless.
Yeah. That's not owing.
Understood.
Slaves didn't owe their masters a damn thing. You wouldn't call that owing your master. Right? That's just your master taking your life's effort and claiming ownership over you the same way, and the same principle applies to taxation.
Yep. And I'm not arguing that it's not.
I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to the listeners in general. So it wasn't directed toward you specifically.
Right. Appreciate it.
I just wanted to, you know, make sure that we're outlining why we're talking about it in this way.
Well, that's why it's important to say tax victim instead of taxpayer.
Agreed. So, yeah, congratulations, everybody. You're getting a gift, not everybody.
A gift.
And, I doubt I'm getting any gifts.
Yeah.
If you were delinquent and a derelict in paying your taxes, we have a present for you.
And that's what I'm thinking. Like, this sounds like a setup to be like, oh, yes, I didn't do the thing, and then they're like, jail! You know what I mean?
Except there's no paperwork to fill out, right? They're doing it automatically. So they already know.
Are they doing it automatically?
That's what the article said.
Well, but they're sending out notices, right? Yeah. And so, like...
But they're sending out notices for people to pay the remainder of what they quote-unquote owe them.
Right.
And then, if they do that, then they will give them $20 or
whatever. Yeah, it's like a $200 coupon off of your
But in order to qualify for that, you have to pay the remainder of what you quote-unquote owe by April 1st. But then after April 1st, it's going to accrue, you know, start accruing again. So it's like, okay, if you pay in a couple of months, then we won't rape you.
Yeah. No, they're still going to rape you. They're just going to rape you later.
Or less, they know.
Instead of 100 thrusts, they're going to only thrust 80 times.
Right. They already know. They know how much you made. They know how much you owe. You fill out the form, whatever, colloquialism.
Yes, I know.
They know what they're expecting, and then you're required, like, to fill out the forms to match their expectation. And if you don't, they know, and then they audit or they penalize. Right. So even this, you know, if you don't pay it by April 1st, they already know who you are. Then they will levy more fines and penalties after April 1st. And then when they finally do get around to collecting it, it will be so much more than what it is in current terms. Like present day, it's not going to be less. Hmm. They're not going to give out money again.
Well, so since this article derived from the era known as COVID, right? Because I guess we could safely call it that.
It's weird how long ago it was.
Nikki brought this in. This is from Bloomberg, of all places.
Bloomberg.
I also had this, just a different article, but the same type of information. So I thought it was important for us to bring up. The largest COVID vaccine study yet finds links to health conditions.
No.
No, you don't say that a completely untested, rushed through, government shielded by giving them immunity from persecution might have some adverse effects on the human body?
It's almost like we said this.
It's almost like we said this repeatedly.
3 years ago.
For 3 years. Right? Like, as soon as it came out, we were talking about this stuff.
I like the memes that say, like, well, okay, we're going to be treating COVID like the flu now.
Yeah.
We already have. That's how we've been doing it.
Yeah. Welcome. Thank you for catching up to the rest of, you know, the world that can actually think for themselves.
Oh, man. I don't know how old the picture was, but my sister posted something on social media. And it's like she was still wearing a mask. And my dad had his mask, like, pulled down his chin. Like, oh, come on.
Recently?
I think it's, well, she posted recently.
Could have been from, but
I don't
still
know when the picture is. It wasn't a COVID era picture. It was like, look at where we were at this week type of a thing.
It's like, oh, I forgot people did that.
Yeah. Well, and I was just there, and it seemed like, you know, I talked to my buddy before the trip. I'm like, do I have to bring the mask? You know, because I have the really cool COVID mask. And it's like, no.
The fishnet one?
It's got mesh in the eyes, but it's a bulletproof mask. Like, oh, okay. It's a ballistic mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, if you're going to do it, do it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I wasn't going to do it. I was going to pack it if they weren't doing it. And he was like, no, we're pretty much over it here, too. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
And that was true?
It was true.
All right, good.
I mean, there were people, you know, on the airplane. They're like, you know, some of your passengers might still be choosing to wear masks, and let's just leave them alone.
Right, yeah.
Like, and so now it's like, don't make fun of the people that are still doing this.
It's literally part of the announcement, yeah. Safety announcements on the plane.
And that's when you're supposed to point and laugh.
If the airport rules and restrictions weren't so onerous,
yeah.
I'd probably point and laugh more.
Right, yeah. You don't want to get kicked off your flight. You got somewhere to be.
Right.
Yeah, they literally will kick you off the flight.
So this from Bloomberg. Vaccines that protect against severe illness, death, and lingering long COVID symptoms from a coronavirus infection were linked to small increases in neurological, blood, and heart-related conditions in the largest global vaccine safety study to date.
Died suddenly.
The rare events identified early in the pandemic, like here on Free Talk Live when we were talking all about this crap, included a higher risk of heart-related inflammation from mRNA shots made by Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna.
The big three.
Yes. And an increased risk of a type of blood clot in the brain after immunization with viral vector vaccines, such as the one developed by the University of Oxford and made by AstraZeneca.
Aw, but it was worth it.
So all four of them are here on this list. The viral vector jabs were also tied to an increased risk of, how do you pronounce this, Nikki? Guillain-Barré?
Yeah.
Syndrome? A neurological disorder. Yeah.
Just some more syllables in the word there, Kevin.
I just made
spoiler alert. Yeah. Guillain-Barré syndrome, or how do you say it? I can't say it.
You just confirmed how to say it. No. And it's different than what you just said.
He did say it correctly, but now my brain can't say it. Anyways, all vaccines give you that. So, not just the COVID vaccine.
Okay, all right. Blah, blah, blah. More than 13.5 billion doses of COVID vaccines have been administered globally. 13.5.
Don't forget the boosters.
Billion.
All those boosters.
Over the past.
It's worn off. You need a booster.
People are still getting boosters.
I know. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so listen to this. More than 13.5 billion doses of COVID vaccines have been administered globally over the past 3 years, saving over 1 million lives in Europe alone.
Really?
Did you calculate? Allegedly. Did you calculate how many people died because of it?
No, just the lives saved.
Hmm? How did they calculate that?
It's the seen versus the unseen, right?
How do you calculate if getting one of these shots saved anybody?
Because they didn't die of COVID.
So this is the thing.
Saved 8 billion lives.
I worked in healthcare the entire time.
Yeah.
I knew that the majority of the people that I was working with were vaccinated and boosted. They were getting COVID repeatedly.
Yep.
And I wasn't.
Right.
That's all the evidence I need.
Yeah.
And then there was another girl I worked with at my last nursing job who just casually was like, yeah, I never got the vaccine, but it's weird because it seems like I've never gotten COVID once. But it seems like she was kind of, you know, she wasn't an anti-vaxxer. She didn't get it for other reasons.
Yeah.
But it was like the gears were turning in her brain and she was just saying it like, this doesn't make sense. You guys are vaccinated. You're getting it. Right. But I'm not.
Right.
And she like finally put everything together and I'm like, yeah.
Well, let's also be clear. COVID made its way through the studio and most of us are unvaccinated.
True.
Right. Like no one died. Right, no one died.
Right.
But we weren't able to avoid getting it entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, that being said, I got it, and I was like, well, okay. And this was like before the boosters were even, the shot itself was even available. So I got the thing, I got over it, and so then the shots come out, and they're like, well, even if you had COVID, you should get the shot. I'm like, nope. F you.
Natural immunity.
Oh, hell no, I think was my exact reaction. Like, there is no reason for me to get a shot to prevent something I've already had and gotten over with. If you understand basic human immunology, right, which even I probably don't, like, that's how it works. Right?
So, and this is the thing. So their argument is, well, it mutates. All right, well, just like with the flu shot, this is how they make the flu shot. They take the most popular strain from the year before, and they create a vaccine surrounding the most popular strain.
Yeah.
That's why people still get the flu,
right,
because they're getting a different strain. So you could say the same exact thing about the COVID shot. That's why the flu shot doesn't work.
Right.
That's why the COVID shot doesn't work.
Right.
Because it's a shot in the dark. They have absolutely no clue whether that's the strain that you're going to get.
How come Sorry. How come they don't say the same about the other common vaccines, though? Like measles, mutants.
Polio.
Yeah, measles, mumps, and rubella.
Because they don't.
Okay.
So it's more like flu and coronaviruses and colds. Those more likely to...
And the thing about coronaviruses, if you look at any of them, the common cold, the flu, right, that kind of thing, when they do mutate, they become less potent.
Yeah. It's a natural development.
You can't kill all your hosts.
Yeah.
That's the thing, yeah, it's a natural development of how things happen.
So I got the COVID, I got over it naturally. My body was just like, eh, screw this, got over it, right, did its thing. So the next time I get COVID, which I got again just over the New Year's weekend or week before New Year's this year, it was far less, right? And the only reason that I believe I had COVID again was because I lost my sense of taste for a couple of days, which is a key indicator for whatever people were getting. Even though the COVID virus itself has never been isolated, which is weird. So I just want to put that in there to make people think a little bit.
I think, think... I want to dispute
Has
that.
The flu virus been isolated?
I want to dispute that a little bit. Okay. Because I think there's some terminology that gets used by people who say that, and I think they're wrong because they're using the wrong terminology.
Okay.
So there's video out there where you can see the COVID virus, whatever.
Yeah.
Like under a microscope.
The cells or whatever
that
is the COVID virus.
And they say that it has the virus has never been isolated because virus is a plural term for what they have isolated. And so what they call the virus is the noticeable effects of the viral or whatever, the individual virus cell that when comes together causes these effects. So they've isolated the single viral cell.
I see.
But they can't isolate a virus because the virus is a collection of those. Expressing symptoms in people.
Okay. Well, thank you for the clarification on the terminology, Mr. Richie Rich. Unfortunately, we are out of time. You'll have to try us back next weekend if you want to talk to us. If you missed any part of the show tonight, please visit the archives over at freetalklive.com. Thank you, Richie. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you to all of our callers. And peace.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.